Welcome to episode 76 of Beers and Buckets. I'm your host, Connor Caldwell. I'm usually joined by Dow, but I am Dowless tonight as he is gallivanting around Italy, eating noodles, drinking wine, doing all the Italy things. But I have a couple guests on tonight to recap our college basketball fantasy draft podcast that we did earlier back before the season started. So we're talking about that. We are also talking about some coaching carousel decisions and who committed this week to what school from the transfer portal and then who entered the portals going portaling. So this is going to be a really fun episode. We can't wait for you guys to listen. Let's go. Back with an off-season edition of Beers and Buckets. I am Dallas tonight. He is gallivanting in Italy, so I am by myself. Not really, because I have three friends, former guests of the show, Matt Sack and Bradley Smith and Michael Beard, former guests of the show, like I said, because back in October, what we did an episode, and it was kind of crazy because there was a lag to it. There was a whole bunch of issues going on, but we had a good time, so... Fellas, how are you doing tonight? This is a fine Monday evening, if you ask me, but how are you guys doing?
I'm doing fantastic. It's beautiful in Lexington. I'm here talking basketball with the boys. It is the off season, so we just kind of get to make up fun things to talk about. So couldn't be doing much better.
Agreed.
Yeah, I was telling you guys before we started, I polished off $30 worth of Taco Bell. So in this economy,
that's like two quesadillas.
Actually, it was a quesadilla, two chalupas, a couple of the Chipotle chicken melts, and a large Baja Blast. So I'm feeling good.
Is there ever go to Taco Bell and not get Baja Blast?
No, like, it's never happened.
Trademark drink, but appreciate you having me on, Connor, and Doing really well. Living the dad life, and wouldn't trade it for anything. And I'm just blessed to be on here with you all, talk about what we all love more than anything else. So,
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, there's been a lot that's happened, and we can kind of recap at the end where we can find you guys and all your doings and workings there. But I know since the last time we had talked on B&B, you guys have – Matt and Bradley, you guys have started a new podcast with a couple of burners called Rep to No Good, and that seems to be going well. Very much enjoy listening to you guys on that show. It's fantastic. So I want to go ahead and plug it now, but you can talk about it later at the end of the show. And then, Mike, you had dipped out of bracketology a little bit, but you're kind of getting back into it a little bit. Am I wrong or no?
Yeah, well, I dipped out of it, and I saw some – there was a few times during the year I was flirting with getting back into it, but it never really panned out. But I'm looking to get everything ironed out to be back, you know, full swing into it next year.
Yes, we need it.
Because, you know, it makes me more dialed into the college basketball, like the whole grand scheme of things. I mean, I'm already am as anyways, but, you know, it just makes me even more into it, and I enjoy the heck out of that. It's my favorite hobby. So
100%. Yeah, no, it's so fun. So fun. Just even doing this podcast for the last two seasons has got me way more into it. And then coincidentally with the transfer portal and NIL, it's made it way more fun than it probably should be as well. So no, we're having a great time. So we won't waste any more time on this. Let's jump into our fantasy draft. Let's recap our draft. So I'm going to go with my team, and then whoever else wants to name their team, we could do it like that. You guys could talk about your team in general, how they did all season. So to start out, I'll go with mine. Keyonte George was my first pick. He was kind of left right there for me. Maybe it was Drew Timmy. I can't remember exactly order of which I picked, but I end up with Keyonte George, Nigel Pack, Kaysen Wallace, Drew Timmy, Trace Jackson Davis, and Derek Lively. And I end up winning that vote there that we had at the beginning of the season, just because I think I had a lot of big flashy names that stuck out. But when you have two national or all Americans on your team, that's going to work out for you. So who else wants to go?
I'll go next. Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yes.
So I had, at point guard, I had Nolan Hickman, who I was investing in a whole lot. I truly believe he was going to take the next step with Gonzaga this year, and that did not happen. They had a lot of backcourt issues there at Gonzaga, and he just never really took the step that I thought that he was going to take. Then there was Marcus Sasser, who did amazing.
Yeah.
Arthur Kluma at Creighton, Jaime Jaquez, Armando Bacot, and Brandon Miller, which was my last pick.
That's crazy, yeah. Dude.
Yeah, that's insane.
I remember you picking him, and I was like, he'll be okay. Like, he's great six man for this, like, not top three pick in the NBA draft this upcoming year. Yeah. Oh, man, that's crazy. Who wants to go next?
I can take it. Okay. Bradley, I feel like you have a more adventurous lineup you could explore, so I'll rifle through mine. I remember picking, I kind of just wanted a positionless basketball, a lot of athleticism, a lot of pro potential, and I was hoping that I kind of just went for a home run, and there were some big swings and misses here. At point guard, I had Eric Gaines. At my shooting guard, I had Flagler, I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong. I'm going off the dome right now. That was one of my safer picks. Yep. And then at the 3-4 and my sixth man, I had a bunch of like 3-4 hybrids. I had Strother from Gonzaga, who I think was really good. I had Josiah Jordan James, who was fine, but never really had a huge role at Tennessee. And Dylan Mitchell, who I think had one of the weirder seasons. Like, it looks like he started all 38 games that he played for Texas this year. I drafted him as a three. I think that's kind of how I saw him as, but it looks like he did not attempt a single three-pointer all year. I kind of default to you, Connor, as like the college basketball expert. I focus more on Kentucky. You're going to have to tell me like what the heck happened with Dylan Mitchell this year. And of course, my first overall pick in the draft was Oscar Tshiebwe. I don't know if I got the most value with that pick before the season. Like, going into the season, that's the easy pick, you know, especially with probably the Twitter audience being mostly Kentucky fans. That's the obvious pick to go with. But we all know Oscar struggled with defense a little bit, playing in the low post against taller guys. But again, you take a two-time All-American on your team. That's definitely nothing wrong there. But I do think I went for some Hail Marys and came up short on a few of them. So if we do have a redraft or an additional player, I need another home run to fill some holes.
Just to give you an insight, I think on what happened with Dylan Mitchell in Texas was more so they played a lot of four out, and he was the one in because he just could not stretch the floor like, you know, some of the other guys on Texas team could. And also the emergence of Tyrese Hunter. We knew he'd be good. We didn't think he'd be that good. So I think that was it was a combination of those things. But, yeah.
So I'll go ahead and go with my team. So Zach said he wanted positionless basketball. I had very much positioned basketball. So at my one, I had Nigel Pack. You know, good player on a good team. I feel pretty good about that pick. I think I'd feel better about him as my sixth man, but I'm all right with that. Y'all trolled me whenever we did the draft, said you picked the wrong guard from Miami.
I'm still right on that.
They're both
pretty good. It wasn't the wrong guard. The wrong guy. The wrong guy.
Well, anyway, at my two, I had Nick Smith Jr. From Arkansas. I don't know how I feel about this pick. I might need y'all's input on how to feel about this. He's a good player, but he didn't really contribute to winning, in my opinion, at Arkansas.
Oh, 100%.
I think if that's the guy you want as your sixth man, I think you make that happen. Because I think if he's just spark plug offense off your bench, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
But if you have him in your lineup, you know he's just chucking up shots. And when you explain the rest of your roster, it's honestly okay to have shot chuckers out there.
Yeah.
Yes, and that's what I was going for. I was going for shot chuckers and rebounders. Yeah. Because at my three, I had Antonio Reeves. And, you know, all four of us are Kentucky fans. We know that when Reeves was hot, he was hot. You know, that Arkansas game went bonkers. He was a really fun player. SEC Sixth Man of the Year. I feel really good about that pick. One pick that I feel less good about. At my four, I had Jamarian Sharp from WKU. He blocked shots, and that's kind of it. I mean, he's big. I was expecting him to realize that he's 7'5", and he can do whatever he wants to on the basketball court. But unfortunately, he did not realize that. I think he averaged 7'7" and 4", which if you're 7'5", is just disgusting, especially playing at WKU. Then at my five, hey, I nailed this one. I had Zach Edey from Purdue, National Player of the Year. It's really kind of a shame that I had last place in the voting because National Player of the Year, I think I should have won that just by virtue of having Zach Edey on my team.
I don't think you got last place. I think Dow got last place.
Oh, well, that makes sense. Yeah. No, yeah. I'm just kidding. Then at my sixth man, I had Santiago Viscovi from Tennessee, which, you know, he's a good player. I think in hindsight, I probably shouldn't have picked him on my team. There were a lot better guards, but, you know, not a horrible pick.
Mm-hmm. No, not a terrible pick. Also, on Jamarian Sharp entered the portal, if I'm not mistaken. But he was there for Stansberry, and Stansberry out. So we'll see what somebody can do with him. Unfortunately for you, Bradley, this happened in the season, which Stansberry probably didn't use him to the best potential. But that's why you got to pick good players on good teams. So
he's a cat. No, he is not a cat. I'm sorry.
I mean, if we want to get Cliff Amore, sure, let's do it. Bring him in, buddy. Wrong red team, wrong big, tall guy. Okay. But sure. And then to list off Dow's team, he went with Mike Miles, Baylor Shireman, Cam Whitmore, Deron Holmes, Hunter Dickinson, and Hunter Maldonado. Not really terrible going down the list until you get to that sixth man, which Hunter Maldonado just didn't have a good season like he thought he would. And I hate Hunter Dickinson, so he could have him. So there's that. So now we have recapped our rosters, kind of went through what happened in the season. We have the opportunity to fix our roster. So Dal does not get the opportunity to fix his roster because he's sucking on noodles right now like a loser in Italy. So we are going to just skip Dal, even though he would have had the first pick. So it kind of sucks to miss out on that first pick. Wow. But Bradley, you got our first pick tonight, man. Who are you? Do we want to do replacing or adding to it? I vote replacing, but
yeah, we can do replacing. Cause I think we all have at least one guy that we're like, I shouldn't have picked him.
Yeah. Yep.
So I had a couple different ways that I could go with this. I could have either leaned all the way into the meme and just got another tall guy. But unfortunately for my team construction, I don't think that would be the best. I have one pretty significant issue that I need to fix, and it's that I don't have a power forward. So I had to weigh my options then at that point and think about what power forwards were still available because I think y'all had some of the better power forwards in the country. This year on your team. So ultimately I decided to go with Jalen Wilson from Kansas. And of course,
he did not get drafted in that first go round.
And of course I'm going to have him replacing Jamarian Sharp.
That's a good pick. That's a great pick.
And he provides a little bit of extra scoring too, which Sharp obviously didn't do.
Matt, did I go against you in the final or did I go against Mike in the final? I think I went against Mike in the final. Thank you,
Mike. Mike knocked me out in the final four.
Yeah, so then you're up then, Matt.
All right. I also, I'll wait to see if anyone else picks him, but I have an honorary pick for Dowell of who I think he would pick if you were here.
That's fair.
And the listeners that know Dowell very well can maybe guess who this is.
Yeah, probably.
But anyways, I have so many holes to fill. I need a rim protector because we know Oscar's not a good one. I need shooting. I probably need another guard that can handle the ball. I have so many different holes I need to fill. So I think I'm just going to take a very well-rounded player, a guy that can do a little bit of anything, kind of fit back into that size, athleticism that I kind of went with, still fit with my identity. I'm going to probably kick Eric Gaines off. I like Dylan Mitchell. This is a high-potential guy off my bench. And I'm going to take Penn State guard Jalen Pickett to share the backcourt with Adam Flagler with me. And I just think in terms of guys that can do it all, best players available, he could rebound well for a guard, good defender, 38% shooter. He can pass, create for others, score, get buckets for himself. I will go Jane Pickett.
That's not terrible. I don't hate it. I thought you were going to go with Marquise Noel.
I almost did. It was tempting, but I wanted to stick with size and athleticism and not a 5'7" point guard, no matter how much he torched my team.
Yeah.
All right, Mike, then you're up, man.
All right. So I have two guys wrote down here that I was really banking on, and they're both here. So now the interesting part is which one I'm going to go with. One of them is Marquise Noel. I'm replacing Nolan Hickman from Gonzaga.
That's a good pick.
I don't know if – so I have Marcus Sasser as well, so I could slot him into the point guard if I wanted to.
Yeah.
And I could, you know, go with, you know, a guard or really whoever I want to. But I think I'm gonna go ahead and get another – just get a point guard and let Marcus Sasser play his natural two position – which is what he's going to be playing in the NBA someday. Give me Tyler Kolek at Marquette. I really like Tyler Kolek. He's got a strap.
Yeah.
Really good playmaker. Very good basketball IQ. And I love what he could do with the rest of my team here. So that's who I want.
No, Kolek was great. Marquette was great. I know they got bounced a little early, but
yeah.
They're returning literally everyone. I don't think they're losing anyone to the portal. They're not losing anyone to the draft. They're not losing any seniors. They're a relatively young team. Like, they're going to take the Big East again next year, and it all depends on what Shaka wants to do in the tournament. Yeah. But great team, and Kolek's great player. So, no, that's a good pick. Either Noel or Kolek was the right pick. Like, yeah. There's no wrong pick there. I'm surprised no one mentioned him just for the lack of – I mean, the guy just won the most outstanding player in the tournament, in the Final Four, or the championship game, excuse me. But I'm going to go with Adama Sanogo, and I'm going to have him replacing Derek Lively there. And then really what I'll probably end up doing is sliding in Sanogo there at starting five, and then either have one of Drew Timmy or Trace Jackson Davis come off the bench, which is just – you're just playing with house money at that point.
That's insane.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, you got length, you got rim protection, you got scoring at literally all five positions, and Sanogo can stretch the floor. It shows that. So yeah, that's who I'm gonna go with, and hopefully get some UConn listeners to vote for me.
Yeah.
When we put this up on Twitter. But yeah, just more recency bias than anything. But if you guys listened to the offseason last year, we did the UConn episode, I was high on Sanogo going into the season. Did not think he could stretch the floor like he did towards the end of the season. So that's kind of scary for the league, especially if he ends up transferring there. So it should be interesting all around. But what we'll do is I'll put these revised rosters up. Oh, wait, before we do that, Matt, who do you think Dal was going to take? Or who?
I don't know who would replace, but I feel
who
like
are we selecting for Dal? How about
I feel like Ty Appleby of Wake Forest would do a lot of wonders for Dal's roster. And
yeah.
Maybe that's not the best pick, but I think when Dal comes back and listens to this, he'll appreciate me throwing the Wake guy in for him.
Yeah, I think either Tyree Appleby or Matt Bradley, just going San Diego State bias. But it's one of – he has those two teams, obviously, as Kentucky, but he has his sister goes to San Diego State, so he roots for them a lot. And obviously former Wake grad, so he goes with Wake player. I like that. So I'll text him, and whatever he decides will go in there. But either way, it's replacing Hunter Maldonado because the rest of his team is pretty solid. Deron Holmes didn't have a great year, but didn't have a terrible year either. Way better than Hunter Maldonado. And he had the two Hunters, which both of them are just mid, in my opinion. But either way, he had Baylor Shireman and Mike Miles, which is solid players all around too. So, yeah. All right. So let's do this. Let's take a break, and then we'll come back and talk some off-season discussions. Beers and Buckets is now part of Variety Sports Network and VSN Collegiate. You can follow them on Twitter at @Variety_Sports_@VSN Collegiate. We are sponsored by SeatGeek. Get $20 off your first purchase on SeatGeek using promo code VSN. That's promo code VSN for $20 off your first purchase. And we're also sponsored by University Traditions. Get 15% off your order at University Traditions with promo code VSN15. That's 15% off your first order at University Traditions with promo code VSN15. Links are in the bio there, so go ahead and hit those links, buy those things, get whatever you want, man. Just go ahead and check them out. But yeah, make sure you check out Variety Sports Network and VSN Collegiate for more shows like this one. And let's get back to the podcast. All right, so we're back talking some off-season stuff. Before we do any off-season things, are you guys drinking anything tonight? Because I just want to shout out this Fruit Punch Sour Ale called Oh Yeah by Magnify Brewing. I have no stats or anything. All right, here we go. 6% ABV, and it's a pint. But it's a Fruit Punch Sour Ale with Fruit Punch drink mix. So it literally tastes like a Kool-Aid. It's pretty fantastic. I really picked it out because I saw it in the store. And I thought, man, Bradley is going to do a great Kool-Aid Man impression. So, Bradley, can you give me your best Kool-Aid Man impression?
Oh, yeah.
That might be the worst Kool-Aid Man impression I've ever in my life. Anyways, no, this is a great beer. Sure, let's go with Roll Tide because of the red and they're breaking through walls. But I don't think they're going to be as good as they were this past season. Anyways, there we go. They killing it out there, if we want to say that on the podcast. What you drinking, Matt?
I got a mango cart.
Let's go.
The Beers and Buckets podcast put me onto them first. I've been kind of a bourbon guy as of late. I just, to put an entire 12-ounce beer in my belly before bed every night has been a little rough, so I like a 2-ounce pour of bourbon instead. But
fair.
I had one more sitting in my fridge, and I'm heading on Beers and Buckets, so I had to. I forgot who you compared a mango cart to, but I feel like UCLA vibes.
I can't remember exactly. It was.
It's a California beer, right?
Yeah, it is. It's in LA. And shout out to my friend Marco, who lives out in LA, works at Universal Studios. He goes to Golden Road all the time. And he's like, I remember listening to the first Beers and Buckets episode. He's like, I tried it there at Golden Road and it was great. So yeah, I love mango cart, man. I drink those all the time. Still have them in my fridge.
I feel like a mango cart reminds me of the team that you drafted, Connor.
Just perfect, crisp, everything perfect.
Just scores on all levels, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's fair. Bradley, you drinking Baja Blast tonight?
I finished my Baja Blast before we started.
That's fair.
So it's sad, but...
Have you ever had the Baja Blast Zero?
Who are you trying to fool?
Oh, I don't
like, know. I don't mean you, Connor. I mean whoever came up with Baja Blast Zero.
I love it. Why? That's the only one I drink, to be honest. I like the regular Baja Blast, but you know, there's one thing that you can do to cut down those calories, to cut down the sugar. The amount of sugar in regular soda is insane. So I do drink like pretty much anything zero or diet if I drink a soda. And Baja Blast Zero is great. I'm not going to lie.
Absolutely not. I'll just drink water. I mean, that's...
No, I mean, it's fine. It tastes
my fine. Doctor would probably prefer if I did that. But the Zero is not going in my mouth hole. That's not going to happen.
Oh, man. No, man. Mike, you drinking anything tonight?
Sadly, I'm not. I want something, but I don't want to walk into my living room where my... Eight week old puppy who is in there grieving because it doesn't have its mom. I don't want to start whining and barking during this episode. Thought last minute to even grab me anything. So if I were drinking anything, I would have a nice Busch Light in front of me.
Nice Busch Light, not a Bud Light. You don't want to make a political statement, huh? Just kidding. I'm not going to speak for you on that. Anyways, let's get into it. All right, let's talk some portal talk. So we'll first we'll talk about who committed this week alone, and then we'll talk about people who entered as we close things out. So who committed this week? You mentioned earlier, Bradley, Fardaws, he committed to Cal. So I don't know if that means he's joining Devin Askew or if Devin Askew's staying. I have no idea. But he's going to be joining the team there in Cal. I don't love this for him. I feel like he had a bigger name, but I don't know. I think his reputation kind of got soured with what happened at Texas Tech. Didn't he enter the portal back in like December?
Yes, he
did. And then like withdrew his name and now entered again.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
the little scuttlebutt I got on Fardaws was that the NIL checks weren't cashing, so he kind of left until they were, then came back. So that's the case. I don't really know why he's going to Cal, because we're like the worst Power 5 team. Like, I doubt they have people lining up to give him money to play there.
There's so many other – I'm sure there are plenty other California teams in the Pac-12 that would have offered him way more money in NIL than Cal, but I don't know how he ended up there.
Yeah, so I really wanted AMAC in his initial transfer recruitment from Utah Valley, right? That's where he started out. I really wanted him as like an Oscar Tshiebwe replacement. Then Oscar came back, and I was like, not really. Yeah. I'm good. Cal, I feel like is a good place for him. You know, him and Devin Askew go be Shaq and Kobe, you know.
Well, it makes sense why he goes to Cal now, doing a little bit of research. It's the former Utah Valley head coach, Mark Madsen, was hired there. So he's going back to who he's recruited by there.
Nice.
So that's cool. I like it for him, I guess. But it's still not great NIL opportunities. But he might have just seen that it's the writing on the wall with when it comes to all that. So, all right, let's move on. Jameer Nelson Jr. is now going to be a Horned Frog from TCU. Mm. How we feel about that?
I can't say that I've watched a lot of Jameer Nelson Jr., but I did see his stat line and how he did this year. Remind me what college he was at this?
Delaware.
Okay, yeah. They didn't have a very successful year, did they? I don't remember them.
Not very great, but he is definitely riding off his dad's name. And he's a solid player, no doubt about it. But you get Jameer Nelson Jr., that means Jameer Nelson's coming to your
absolutely
game. As a Magic fan, that just blesses my heart. Would have loved to have Jameer Nelson in the blue and white, but oh well.
Well, my thing is,
is Matt Miles going pro?
Let me look it up.
Because that's a very interesting fit if he's not. Because I feel like those are two very ball dominant, shot heavy guards, and I guess in a conference like the Big 12, it could work. I mean, I feel like I don't know.
Yeah, I don't really know.
The fit's interesting to say the least. If Mike Miles wanted to enter the transfer portal, I mean, he's immediately
he declared for the draft on March 30th.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And he said he's going to go this time. So he entered before and then withdrew. He's gone now.
Mm-hmm. Then I love the transfer for Nelson. I feel like that's just kind of like a plug and play in a similar role. He's going to get his shots. He's going to get 16 to 18 points a game, and the offense is going to run for him. So good for both parties.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could really see him being one of those guys, because there's one in the Big 12 every year that just goes off for like 30 at Fog Allen.
Yeah.
I could see it being him.
Yeah.
From a Kentucky perspective, I thought he would be interesting. Everything that's going on with Rob Dillingham, I'm still of the opinion that he makes it to campus and plays at Kentucky, but that's mostly just because I want my narratives to come true.
There you go.
But I would have liked him potentially as a Rob Dillingham replacement.
If that were to happen.
Exactly.
I think you could have had him with Rob Dillingham and had him just at his experienced guard at the point. You know what I mean?
I would have been totally fine with that too, but people on Twitter tell me people don't want to come be a backup guard at Kentucky. If they're going to go be a backup guard at TCU, they'll come be a backup guard at Kentucky.
That's fair. All right, then Caleb Love announced that he's committed to Michigan. This is a big-time get for Michigan. I think you get a Jet Howard, Kobe Bufkin replacement here, and a solid player in Caleb Love, despite his gross stat line. He is a solid player. What do you guys think on this one?
Did you see the former Duke guy, Joey Baker, immediately leave as soon as Caleb Love committed? I thought that was funny.
I like the move. He definitely needed a change of scenery after, you know, all the rumors of the locker room drama going on and some scenarios that kind of split the locker room onto some different sides of the room. And this is a great opportunity for him, especially with, like you said, Bufkin and Jet Howard leaving. There's plenty of scoring there and Hunter Dickinson. So, you know, great opportunity, great coach to play for with a great mind. So, yeah, I definitely love it. Maybe he can revive his college basketball career. Well, he's had a good college basketball career, but maybe he can revive his pro stock a little bit.
Yeah. Jalen Cook going to LSU. This surprise should surprise no one. It was rumored that he was going to stay in Louisiana, obviously. So we have that. LJ Cryer going to Houston. Oh, you want to talk about Cook real quick?
Not so much. I want to talk about LSU.
Okay, go for it.
So I had the realization the other day, and I started out trolling an LSU fan who was in my DMs, but then I actually started talking myself into it. I think potentially, depending on what moves they make in the portal, I think LSU possibly, and this is my hot take, and those usually don't end up going well, but I think LSU potentially could be a top five SEC team next year. You look at guys
that have, one hot take.
It is. It is. But I'm a believer in Jordan Wright, now that he actually has a real coach and not Jerry Stackhouse. Jerry Stackhouse is the biggest fraud next to Penny Hardaway that I've ever seen. And
trolling or being serious?
No, I'm being dead serious. I'm not even kidding.
That is a bad take.
I don't care. And looking like they're going to get Will Baker from Nevada, depending on how you pronounce that. And with Cook, you know, get a couple other good portal pieces in there, and I think they could be a very good team. And I'm a believer in Matt McMahon. Just watching him at Murray State, I think giving him a program like LSU, he can do some good things.
Are some of his guys like KJ Williams coming back?
No, KJ Williams is done. And then I think the other two Murray State guys he brought with him are either transferring or are out of eligibility.
Yeah, and they're losing Adam Miller, notorious shot chucker. Still would like him to be.
He's a cat. Rat,
but that's not going to happen. That is a hot take. Saying Penny is not a good coach is a very hot take. It's a bad take, not even hot. It's just bad. rumors that he might take the Detroit Pistons job. There's a lot of smoke there. Don't know if there's any fire there, but there's a lot of smoke there. So watch out for that. Let's talk about Houston. LJ Cryer makes me sad. Makes me want to be a crier that Kentucky didn't reach out to LJ, and that Houston is just loading up on good guards again. This is absolutely insane. Gonna take that Marcus Sasser spot, role, whatever you want to call it. What do you guys think of this one?
Love it. Absolutely love it. You said it best. He's got plenty of opportunity there. Just jump right in where Marcus Sasser was. He can be the lead guard there for Houston, and that's a great situation for him to go into. They've got some nice pieces coming back to play with, and I'm pretty sure there was another player to transfer to Houston, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, Damian Dunn from Temple also transferred. You mentioned I have him on the list, so we'll just talk about him now. They got two great guards right there just coming in. Right. So absolutely insane what Samson's doing there.
Yeah, I really like that move for Houston. Again, from a Kentucky perspective, it makes me wonder what Cal is cooking. It makes me a little nervous because what is this, 3 years in a row that we've had guard issues? I would like to not have guard issues again.
Correct.
Please.
Yeah.
Please get a guard.
I mean, and depth is the main thing, you know.
I'm
not saying go get the best guard in the portal or something, but give you a guy that's not going to disintegrate the second he steps onto the basketball court. Yeah.
Really, I think that really comes down to whether Rob's on campus or not. Because, yeah. I mean, if you have DJ, Rob, and Justin starting, and then you have Reeves as your sixth man, and you have Adu, and you have Reed, who I just keep hearing great things about, maybe even like a CJ kind of as like a Lance Ware guard role. I think that's tons of depth. But obviously, you remove Dilly, that's 28 minutes a game you got to cover.
Yeah. And
I don't think you could scrape that together off the bench. But in terms of the Houston guards that we were talking about, I don't want to get too sidetracked. I think Kelvin Sampson got guys that fit him.
Yeah.
I think that's a huge thing. The guards that he works with, like Sasser and Sheed, were not like true point guards. They were bucket getters. They were two-way guards that'll get their bucket and they'll lock you up on the other end. Cryer kind of was more of like a two-guard or a three-guard, a scoring guard at Baylor, and he kind of wanted to move into a ball-dominant role.
Yeah,
he can do that and still get his own in Kelvin Sampson's offense. Same thing as the Temple guard. What has it done? He put up like 15 points a game from Temple, so he's going to be able to keep scoring the ball, playing an offense that fits him. So I think not only great adds, but great fits for Houston.
100%,
so Kelvin Sampson is really killing it over there.
I agree with that. Yeah, and what really, I think, helps Cryer in the scenario, obviously his defense is a big question mark. What helps with Cryer here and going to Houston is Sampson and Houston like to play a very attacking defense. They like to blow up those dribble handoffs. That's not something that you have to be really good on defense to do. If they put you in an ISO, they send a double to help. Like, they never really get their guards exposed on defense because Marcus Sasser was just an okay defender, in my opinion. But what really made him look better than what he actually was at Houston was the fact that they play such an attacking defense. It's almost like in football when you send a corner blitz or you send a linebacker blitz on like second down or first down or something like that, just to get the offense a little rattled. That's what Houston does. So they do a good job with that. And then Cryer will be fine in that role, like you said, Matt. So that's a great point. Jameson Battle picked up by Ohio State. This is also a great pick for them. I mean, this is going to be a good offensive fit for them, 100%. Defense, I think they're still going to have some issues. Ace Baldwin, we mentioned him going to Penn State. Kirk Kreisha, West Virginia, not going to be a Cornhusker. Did you guys see this one coming at all?
No. No, I thought he was going to yes.
Xavier? Yeah, I thought so too. Everyone told me when he entered the portal, oh, he's going to go to Xavier. He's going to go back to Sean Miller. Surprise Huggins kind of stole him away there. That's just shocking.
Him hopping in the portal at all really shocked me. He just struck me as the kind of guy that would just be in a place and stay there. But West Virginia, who wants to play for Bob Huggins?
Hey, West Virginia had a decent season this year. Not going to lie. Like, they were expected to be very bad. They still missed the tournament, they were like near the bottom of a really good conference. So,
yeah.
The real question is Kerr going to wear his name on his last name on his jersey now, or is he going to wear his first name still?
Where's he from?
I think he's from Croatia.
So they don't like have their names like backwards like the Chinese do or anything. Like,
no, I think the main reason he did that is because his dad was a huge Steve Kerr fan, which is originally why he went to Arizona. Yeah. And so he wanted to wear Kerr like Steve Kerr at Arizona. I think that was like I read something about that a few years ago.
Yeah, and got the special permission to wear 25 too.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So I think he ends up with Krisha on the back, but we'll see. Keyshawn Gilbert, I was super high on him out of UNLV. Going to Iowa State, which seems like, again, more of a lateral move. I guess Iowa State's near the top. They upset some good teams there in the Big 12. But Not great for NIL opportunities, probably the same that you get at UNLV. And he's just a good, tall, long guard that is a defensive nightmare, can stretch the floor. Like, this is a great pickup for Iowa State.
If you know me, you know that I'm an Iowa State, specifically a TJ Otzelberger fan. They have
picked up extension today, by the way.
Yes. You know, he's got a really good recruiting class coming in, doing some good things in the portal. All I'm saying, if he can recruit it to Ames, Iowa, what do you think he could do to Lexington, Kentucky?
I would just have issues with him and his offense, because his defense is great, but his offense is so, so bad sometimes. So maybe it's one of those things, he needs the right players, but
yeah.
Pretty boring. Kenyon Menifield, committed to Arkansas. We hate that. Arkansas has 50 scholarships available somehow every time. We already mentioned Damian Dunn. Brandon Murray today announced that he's going to Ole Miss. Big-time get from Georgetown. He's going to the Woman Haters Club there at Ole Miss and Chris Beard. Micah Handlokenton from Marshall. I don't know how to pronounce his last name. Committed to Florida today. Maybe he's yesterday. Either way, hate that. I mean, happy for
Florida. I already know this guy's going to have Oscar in hell.
Yeah. Yeah.
Colin Castleton, dupe.
He's going to average 3 blocks a game in the SEC. I guarantee it.
Like, I knew he wasn't coming to Kentucky.
Yeah.
But I did not want him in the SEC.
No.
Just because he's the kind of guy that we struggle so hard with.
Yep.
Like Castleton, like Liam Robbins at Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
He's just that guy. And it's like, argh.
Yeah. Yeah, that's tough. So we shall see on that. Trayvon Mark going to Arkansas. Again, how do they have so many scholarships available? Who knows? Dontrez Styles going to Georgetown. Ed Cooley got him one. And then the last but not least, the biggest name I think we've talked, we'll talk about tonight, Khalil Ware from Oregon going to Indiana. Hate it. But that is a good replacement for Trace Jackson Davis there. He's going to have a very long leash, and he'll be fine at. I mean, I like it for him, like for Indiana, hate it as a Indiana hater, but yeah.
He doesn't give me Big Ten center vibes.
That's probably a good thing, though. That means he'll probably be better than most of the Big Ten centers. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess Trace Jackson really wasn't either. Like, when I say Big Ten center vibes, I mean Luka Garza, Kofi Coburn, Hunter Dickinson, kind of the big All-Americans that have gone through the conference the past few years. So I feel like if you were to go to a different Big Ten school, but I think Woodson would use him pretty well. I think if you use him similar to how he used Trace Jackson last year, because he allowed Trace Jackson to kind of allow his athleticism to get him buckets a lot. So I think the fit can be right. But one thing that we heard from him is he's kind of tentative. Sometimes he has a little bit of motor issues. So not having the strength, he might run into a big bully guy like a Cliff Omoruor that just bullies him around for a whole game and he doesn't have the motor to keep up. So it'll be interesting to see how it goes.
I do think that Mike Woodson is great for that aspect of it. Just like if he does have somewhere, you know, deep within that, you know, he can be like, okay, I actually do love basketball. I actually do like getting out there and the grind of practice and everything from day to day. Like that's the main question with him, right? Is like, does he love basketball? And, you know, obviously that translates to his motor. So I like that for just like from a personality standpoint, Mike Woodson, he's a very hard-nosed guy. And he's, I feel like it's a great fit.
Yeah, no, I agree. It is a good fit for both. Just hate that as an Indiana hater. But anyways, let's move on then to let's hit some of the biggest names enter the portal this week. So there's not a whole lot, and then we'll end this episode. Max Asemus from Oral Roberts, 5'11", 160 senior, 21.9 points a game with almost 5 rebounds a game and 4 assists a game. Where do you guys think he's going to end up? Do we have any idea?
I have no scoop, but I feel like Kansas State, like it would be a good plug and play for Noel.
God, yeah, that would hurt, but yeah.
Big 12.
Even Kansas, I feel like, would be good. Somewhere, yeah, Big 12. 12.
He screams Big 12.
He does, yeah.
I don't even know who's recruiting him.
Yeah, I have no read on him. But Wichita State, apparently 100% according to On3, but I doubt that's going to be the case. If he's going anywhere, it's going to be a bigger school than that.
I'd like to see him go ball out at Oklahoma. That just seems like a place where, you know, they have a big score.
Yeah.
They did it with Buddy Hield, did it with Trey Young. You know, and Oral Roberts is in Oklahoma, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is, yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, Oklahoma. I don't even know if they're interested in him, but I'd like to see him. If not,
they should be.
Yeah. I mean, who wouldn't want him? He's been the best scorer in college basketball for at least two seasons. Yeah.
Yeah. Harrison Ingram from Stanford, 6'7", 230, sophomore, almost 11 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists a game. Just rounding up on these. Heard that Cal reached out, heard that Kansas reached out. Everything is saying that it's UNC, like a 99% on three. So we'll see on that. Should be a solid get for any team, though.
What never count think? Out Big John. He's a cat.
Oh, man. I would love that. Don't think it's going to happen. But at least it's showing that Cal's awake, not sleeping.
He'd be the perfect Livingston replacement.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
I question the fit at North Carolina. I feel like Baycott was best when he had a guy like Manek who could really space the floor for him. I feel like having an Ingram who's just another athletic guy that's going to want to be feasting in the paint. Maybe the court opens up for him more at a UNC than it did at Stanford. He's able to knock down some more shots, but I think the fit is questionable. Is Leaky Black coming back? I feel like it's going to be his like ninth year of college basketball.
I have no idea. I haven't heard anything. I would assume no,
yeah.
But who knows? Yeah.
But RJ and Baycott are both back, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Is Seventh Wood still hanging out somewhere?
probably. Cameron Justice.
Just kidding.
Taking some art history classes, not even art history, but like, what was the courses that were made up? Like keep it in the lines classes.
I'm an official Cam Justice hater, by the way, Sack.
Aaron Estrada from Hofstra, 6'3", 195 senior, averaged almost 21 points a game, 6 rebounds, 4 assists there. Let's see where they have him going. It looks like it's a strong Cincinnati lean with a little bit of Alabama sprinkled in. I really don't know enough of this game. I can't tell you any Hofstra games I watched, so I'm not familiar with his game enough to speak on one way or another. But if you're averaging almost 21 points a game, it should translate to a power major school like, I don't know, like probably 11 at least. So we'll see.
He's a bucket getter. He can get a power 5 spot, I feel like, if he wanted to. It'll just come down to, does he want to be a bucket getter at a slightly bigger school like Cincinnati, or does he maybe want to just accept a lesser role and go play at an Alabama where he's probably a sixth man?
Yeah.
Anywhere other than SEC, I'm good. He's another one of those guys that could just torch us Tuesday night in February at Rupp, go 11 of 12 from 3. Ugh, I can just see it happening right now.
Speaking of Kentucky, Ugonna Onyenzo entered. He's a 6'11 freshman, 225 pounds. Didn't play a whole lot, almost like not even 3 points a game, not even 3 rebounds a game. But he was a project based on potential. Rumored to go back to Kentucky. We could sit here and talk all night about Ugonna. Do you guys have anything you want to add? Do you think he's back or do you think he's actually going?
I hope he's back, because I think he wanted to be back. I saw an Andrew Slater tweet, for my money, the most connected guy in college basketball, who at least posts their stuff for free access on Twitter. he said something along the lines of, like, Ugano was super sad when he found out his name was put in the portal. And I'm just like, this kid is so genuine. He looked up playing with Oscar. He looked up playing for Coach Cal in Kentucky. And he put in so much effort to make his dream come true, to play at his dream school. And some adult who thought they could get more money going somewhere else took advantage of him. So I hope he's back at Kentucky. Whether Oscar comes back or not, I want Ugo here. And for the sake of the kid, for the sake of Kentucky, I hope he finds his way back. It sounded like UConn and St. John's were the vibes, but UConn surprisingly got their center back, and St. John's apparently is not an option either. So it looks like the camp thought the grass might be greener at the other side, and now they're begging to come back. So I hope for the sake of Ugo, he's able to find his way back.
Get that man in the gym working on a skyhook, and he's literally Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Yeah.
Number 33 in all. I mean, that man is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
And he does not miss 14-footers in
warm-ups.
He does
not.
I'd love to have him back. He just seems like a genuine guy that wants to be here. High potential, like you said. And I'm interested to see see what he can unlock next year. Don't really know the situation with Oscar and what the playing time is going to be like next year, whether he's going to be the starting center or not, playing beside of Aaron Bradshaw. And whether it's the right fit, I don't know. But if he wants to be here, I want him to be here. So, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. And then the last one we'll talk about, David Jones from St. John's. If you guys listened to the podcast at all last year, you know that we were kind of somewhat high on David Jones, especially after we had a Marquette episode with they talked about when at the time Jones was at DePaul. 6'6", 195 junior, averaged almost 14 points a game, 7 rebounds and 2 assists there at St. John's. So obviously had a bigger role than he did at DePaul. I think he's going to Pitino made it very clear. He was just getting rid of pretty much everybody and cleaning house there. So David Jones entering the portal again, going Portland. What do you guys think of this guy?
I like him. I actually got to meet him the day I'm pretty sure I caught COVID against Auburn in 2020 on a February afternoon. It was right before the big COVID breakout, and I caught, like, right dead in the middle of the game. I just started feeling like crap, but that's besides the point. David, great kid. I like his game. Liked him at DePaul. I wanted him to transfer to Kentucky this past year. That didn't happen. So hopefully he can find the right fit this time, a place where he wants to be and a place where they want him to be. So, great kid.
Yeah, this is a guy that dropped 33 and I want to say 14 on Louisville 2 years ago at Louisville. Louisville scored 55 points that game. David Jones had 33 by himself and he won. Yeah. So, and that was at DePaul. And that was like before Louisville was absolutely terrible. So that was an upset victory. So I'll take a guy that can go drop 33 in the good old Yum Center. I'm kind of with you, Mike. I feel like that was kind of like a handler decision. That was just kind of like, all right, where can we get you shots? Where is the situation where the handlers want him? I hope he kind of find more of a better fit for himself. It seemed kind of like maybe the handlers were something that turned off Kentucky the first time around, and we've seen how that goes. So maybe that was a good decision by Cal. This is a super talented kid, NBA upside, if he could start getting that jump shot to fall, because he's crazy athletic and can get buckets on the first two levels. So if he adds that third, he's going to be a serious threat.
So are we taking the field or Arkansas?
I guarantee you Arkansas has reached out. I would put like the over-under of minutes that Arkansas reached, like, waited to reach out to him was probably set at like 2, and I'd smash the under on that. Like, probably did it in like 1.
Did y'all see that they've reached out to like 85 guys in the portal?
I guess he's just like covering all bases.
Yeah.
I have no idea. But, anyways, all right. Well, fellas, this has been a fun episode of Beers and Buckets. we're not going to do any last calls tonight because we've been here long enough and I want you to get you guys to bed. But I do want to thank you guys for coming on. And instead of a last call, just tell us where we can find you on Twitter and things like that. And anything you want to plug, this is your opportunity. So Bradley, kick us off, man.
Yes, sir. You can find me on Twitter at 270BradleySmith. I'm probably best known for being the he's a cat guy. So I'm kind of like Eric Musselman in that way. Anybody that enters the portal, I just quote tweet it and say he's a cat. I said it probably about most of the guys that we discussed during this episode.
Yes, probably.
But it's a bit. I don't actually think everyone's coming to Kentucky. But I do that, enjoy doing that. Also part of the Rup to No Good crew. And I'm sure Matt will talk a little bit more about that. We're the Sack Pack. He's our fearless leader. And I know he'll tell you more about that.
Yeah, Rup to No Good. If you are tired of old people complaining about Kentucky and being toxic about it all the time, listen to a bunch of young people just make jokes about Kentucky and be happy about it the whole time. It's attempting to be a refreshing podcast, something that I don't really feel like anyone else in the Kentucky space is doing. So Rup to No Good, give it a follow. You can follow me on Twitter at MattSackBBN, R2NG. If you know me, did I say at MattSackBBN?
You did. No. Yeah.
Formerly at MattSackBBN. Got logged out of it. Thanks, Elon. Follow me at MattSackR2NG, as in Rup to No Good. Yeah, thanks for having me on. I wish we could have came on one day later. We could have talked about Adama Sinogo in the portal, but you'll get to talk about that next week, so yep. That'll be fun.
He's a cat!
So you can find me on Twitter at @AllMic'd_Up. Usually really active on there about college basketball. And like Connor said at the beginning of the show, I used to do bracketology. I'd love to get back into that. I'd love to get into the podcast industry eventually. And it's just something that I love to do. I love being around, and it makes me happy. So yeah, I'm glad you invited me back on here to, pick my replacements and talk some basketball, and y'all make sure you go vote for me if you listen to this episode.
Yep. All right. You can follow me on Twitter at Connor J. Caldwell. You can follow Dal on Twitter at @Do_WellHarmon. You follow both of us on Instagram and TikTok at Beers and Buckets Pod, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Do us a favor, like, rate, and share this episode. Don't forget to vote if the voting's up. If you're listening to this 5 months from now, the voting is not up. And check out other Variety Sports Network shows like this one. There's so many shows, both pro and college, so get in on there. They have some great content on there. All of the Basketball Podcast Network shows have basically moved over to Variety Sports Network, so go check them out. But this has been fun. This has been real. This has been real fun. And it's been The Bottom Line, because Connor said so. You guys have a fantastic week.